I'll call the meeting to order, the Senior Program Subcommittee. It's March 28th, 2017. We're in the Grove. And first on our agenda is public comment. I have one request, but if anyone else wants to speak, they can. They can just fill out an application after that. And I'll give you 3 minutes to say whatever you want. And first, I have Mike Hirsch.
Mm-hmm. This isn't on.
I'm a 16-year resident of Ashland. Been involved with the senior program for only 15 of those years. And I know we did a survey of users of our serving, the senior center services, and that the survey was all analyzed and lots of data was taken. I was just hoping that a copy of that was A, given to every single member of the council, and could be made public on the city's website.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else care to speak? Great. I have no additions or deletions to the agenda, so we're going to hop right into review of the subcommittee goals, which this is really just a restart of the January 20th meeting. And so if you'd like, I could read the goals of the subcommittee that we published on January 20th. Which we basically set out 5 goals. Through the gathering of information, gain a greater understanding of the senior program and the function it serves the citizens of Ashland. That was number 1. Number 2, explore new ways of marketing and program innovation to ensure that the greatest number of citizens are benefited by the senior program. Number 3, evaluate the organizational structure of the program and ensure that the organization of the senior program and the goals for innovation are aligned for efficiency and service delivery. Number 4, seek advocates of the senior program and new ways to increase community involvement through volunteerism. And number 5, evaluate the current senior program policies and create an official subcommittee of the Ashland Park and Recreation Commission, reporting directly to the commissioners to ensure collaboration and governance. So we passed those on to Chris and to anyone involved with the Senior Center program. We did take part of number 5 and created the subcommittee, which consists of Commissioner Jim Lewis and myself. And so our goal is to, if you have the agenda in front of you, is to review the performance audit and APRC goals, and review the APRC goals related to the senior program, and review the performance audit recommendations. That'll be first up what we'd like to do today. And then we also have a fairly aggressive agenda, but anyone looking at the agenda can see that then we'd like to go into a discussion on the Senior Center Advisory Board, and then progress on to program mission, program org chart history, and the whole 9 yards. We do plan on having follow-up meetings to this, hopefully in relatively rapid succession. And so I guess I'd kind of open it up to the Senior Center Program Manager to maybe give us some background on how you think the Senior Center program relates to the ATRC goals.
Okay. Okay, so I'm confused. Did you want me to go through the performance on it, or is the, these goals here? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You could probably start with the audit goals.
Okay. So when we saw that, and we're putting together this book of quality review, we went through the performance audit and tried to pick out the different parts that had to do specifically with the senior program. So there's back in, there should be a tab in your book, recommendation goal summary, I think second to the last. And so page 32 of the audit talked about evaluating parks and rec facilities and programs to ensure the quality of relevant programming and the highest and best use of facilities. So the objective was to evaluate expanded and alternative use of the senior center to meet community needs. And I see that's also one of the Parks and Rec Commission goals that has specifically to do with us. So, and how do we do that? I guess I'm not even clear what the alternative use of the senior center would be.
I think this would be a good time to talk about that,
mm-hmm.
and to talk about what you think you're doing to meet it, or what we think we're doing to meet it, and what we could do potentially better to meet
mm-hmm.
that. So there's an opportunity to speak about that. So in my view, the alternative use of the senior center would be anything that's not being used for at the time that they did the performance audit. So alternative uses could include other uses that aren't related to the senior program at all that happen after hours, or things that are senior program related that aren't happening now that could benefit the seniors.
Okay. So to expand on what we are currently offering in that building, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and not just related to the building, but to the building is part of it, but then also mm-hmm. the senior program and how to reach more of the community through the program.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the audit, they actually list, other possible
under
programs.
On page 51, that part.
Right.
The part right below that.
And it's not just alternative use, it's also expanded use. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I think what our goal as a commission is to make sure that we're utilizing our facilities to serve the greatest portion of the population, and that we're utilizing them in an effective and efficient manner, so
okay.
that we're using our budget properly, and we can justify what we're doing, what we're producing, how many people we're reaching, what kind of offerings do we have? Have we tried anything new lately? Do we have ideas? Is there a melting pot of ideas of new programs that you or other members of the senior advisory board want to bring forward to say, hey, what if we did this, or what if we did that, or could we do this, or those kind of things.
Yeah. Well, we are always looking at that, actually, and when we have an opening in the schedule, that's what we try to do, is figure out what would be best and give it a try and see what the reaction is. We recently had a man come who wanted to do a discussion group on day trading, for example, which seemed like a good idea. He found he was having discussions not on day trading, but just on how to do it and best practices and things, while he was on the treadmill at the Y, and decided it might be a better venue for him to come to see us. So we're kind of in discussions with him on it. Have a lady who used to dance with Arthur Miller on TV, and she would like to, do just dance, simple dance steps for ballroom dancing. I was looking at that one and thinking that might be better here at the Grove rather than because of the wooden floor in the gym. So those kinds of things, we're always looking at that. We have some students that want to do a chess club in the summertime. So we're kind of thinking about that in terms of being able to use the dining room more effectively. We have another lady that right now that is going to send me a proposal on, the melted glass jewelry and how to do that. And I want to see if that's something that we could use, either do in the dining room, or if not, if we could connect up maybe with the art studio at SOU, which is not far from us, which still has parking, which still has is level and can get to it by bus. That's another use. So those kinds of things are, and that happens fairly frequently where we're doing that. We do try new things quite frequently.
What would be the example of the last thing that we tried there? That was
and then did, okay, well, we did, I don't know if it's the last thing, but what comes to mind is music as medicine. And we had a really good instructor that came in, and she did different kinds of sounds, and you emitted different sounds, and it was a way to form of relaxation kind of thing. And it started out, you know, we gave that a try, and it started out at, I don't know, it didn't, not that many people came, but 6 people, and I thought that was good enough, and then ended up with, she was by herself, so it didn't really work, and I think it took us about 3 tries to come to that conclusion. But we are willing to try. We tried drumming once, kind of Indian drumming, and that was kind of a therapeutic kind of thing, and I thought that was neat, too, and we had a really good first turnout on that one, and then I think it had everything to do with the time of day as well as anything. It was later in the day, and that later in the day spot is really hard to fill unless you've got something going already and it goes later. So
hard
that's
to fill. What do you mean hard to fill?
People don't generally want to come.
Okay, they can't
later.
Fill out in class.
Yeah.
What time would you describe later?
4:30. Yeah.
And you.
I mean, some of our classes go beyond 4:30, like somatics. Mm-hmm. Somatics goes sometimes closer to 5. Somatics, it's a form of relaxation / meditation.
Okay.
And our instructor comes out of the Ollie program and likes our facility, so he does an additional class there with us. But that one, they go well after 4:30 sometimes. And sometimes cards or mahjong. They both, you know, once they get going, you know, they kind of don't want to stop, so.
What would be an example of, like, the last successful program, new successful program that you have that maybe is ongoing even now?
Well, and right now we're doing the local talent series, and that's the last big success we had was due in large part to the new TV that we just got. But it was that movie, it was an independent film called Old. And it was the filmmaker and the editor, the editor's mother comes to the senior center. And so she had offered to show it there, and it had won all kinds of film awards. And so the filmmaker and she then spoke afterward. We have another one coming up by the same duo. We have to wait for the film festival to show it first, and so we'll be doing that in later spring. And that one's called Harvest Paintbrush, and it's about, oh, what's her name, the artist, Patty LaDuke, and it's a lovely, and it's being shown here at this film festival, picked up in Portland, so we're also trying to highlight other kinds of local talent, like we just had a storytelling, which is by Carol Lacey, and with an integrated part of guitar by Irving Fuller, both of whom come to the Senior Center and are particularly talented in those areas. And that was really a lot of fun. We had an author talk a couple weeks ago with somebody who just published a book who comes to the Senior Center regularly. So I'm calling it local talent, but
mm-hmm.
I think one good thing that might actually help in with what you're looking for is a way to expand what that is and
mm-hmm.
gather new talent to come in, even if they don't go there. Because right now we're sort of limited in terms of who I know or who I can get or who I hear about. So that would be one area where we could improve, I think. Because I do like that whole idea of local talent. A lot of people that do things like Carol Lacey with the storytelling, she's been doing it for years and years, but doesn't really have a venue to do it and really enjoyed it, prepared for a couple weeks in advance. Really had it was a good turnout.
Yeah, it was your turn.
Yeah, and the movie Old, we had 110 people. We had to turn people away and lock the doors, actually, because they just kept coming in, and we didn't have fire code, you know, capacity for that. So things like that.
So in a typical weekday, you'll have the morning. the lunch period. Mm-hmm. And do you capture some of the lunch people to try to get something right after that? So
right,
they can
that's
stay
kind of what we do.
Because you already, even then you don't have to generate a lot of interest when you already have somebody mm-hmm. that decide
yeah.
to stay another hour or two.
Well, that's why we kind of leave Wednesday afternoons open
mm-hmm.
you know, for special events and
mm-hmm.
classes and different things that we can.
But do you generally have an activity right after that
yeah,
lunch
that's
period?
What we would do.
Every, pretty much every day.
Every day, yeah.
And so where's the void you'd like to think
oh,
about
Friday,
filling?
Friday morning and Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, we used to be open until 4:30, you know, to the public. And then as a cost-saving measure, I know when Sharon was director, we all went back an hour because that part between 3:30 and 4:30 was usually just so quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice for me if I've got a lot of paperwork to do to have that time, but as far as activities go, we find that to be a struggle. I don't know if that's true of the Grove. You can
mm-hmm.
enlighten me, but it is for us.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Well, the Grove's a little different because you guys, they have classes going on all the time. And,
mm-hmm.
But you have
even
the lunch.
Even when we're not here, we have
yeah.
going on.
But you have the lunch going on, and I've been curious because I'm not down there all the time. What are the busy hours, I guess, of the day at the senior program, senior center?
Kind of varies, but Mondays are usually, they can get busy, but I would call it a quieter day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are our busiest day.
And then is it like a 10:30 to 2:30, or is it?
Well, and Thursdays, for example, is 9 until, Thursday's a very busy day.
Uh-huh.
It's 9 until Mahjong leaves, which is
4:30. So let's talk. So that's when Loretta's there, right?
Well, Loretta's there, and right now Suzanne's there.
Okay, and they're doing, in addition to a typical day there on Thursdays, is there more? You do more on Thursdays.
Well,
right?
Loretta goes out and does her outreach on Thursdays, so she's not really not in the office.
Okay.
So that's when she schedules. She's there Mondays all day to help with coverage, and she schedules everything for the following Thursday. Because with the outreach program, you generally don't schedule more than 3 days in advance to see someone because of doctor's appointments and things that they end up getting canceled. You have to have a kind of a proximity between when you schedule and when they're available.
And this is a senior program employee that does
yes.
this outreach. And then how many, so she does that one day a week?
She does the visits, and sometimes she tries to do them in a half a day. That's what right now she's doing, 1.5 days on average.
She's doing 1.5 days?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes she needs to see someone at 10 in the morning because that's all they'll have. So she'll do that, and then if she can and doesn't have the later appointments, then she'll leave early. So we kind of give her a little bit of room to match schedules with people.
And does that individual have special training to do that?
She's been doing it for, she was a case manager for senior services for 14 years before
mm-hmm.
we nabbed her. She retired. Yeah.
And she's a half-time employee?
Not even. She's 1.5 days a week, so I'm not sure what that
mm-hmm.
is. 1.5 7-hour days a week. So.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's 0.25, I guess. That'd be 10 hours a week. But, so what, just for us, those of us who haven't gone with her or know what the outreach is exactly, can you explain what Loretta does when she does her outreach?
Sure. Well, there's a whole bunch of different ways we connect up with the community, and that's when we do that, she does a home visit. And it depends on what the need is. For example, we might identify somebody in the ELEAP program, which is the energy assistance program during the winter months. When those applications come in and we see somebody is 65 or older or 60 and older disabled and they have all the documentation there, but we see their income. And that particular program through the city, the utility department, has a little bit of flexibility. It does generate then a home visit for Loretta to do to again verify their income at their home. Just look at it. She doesn't have to take copies. She just needs to verify it. But the other part for the senior discount, which is a much more restrictive program, and it's in, I think it's in ordinance. So the home visit portion of that, she's doing a lot of things when she goes there. She's, you know, making a connection between senior program and this individual. And a lot of times when you're that low income, you have other needs. So she's just there to offer resources and kind of conversationally see how their needs can be met and how she can direct them one way or another to other things. They may need a bus pass from us, for example. And she can maybe even generate them a way for them to get to the senior center to start taking some activities or come to lunch or something like that. That would be a typical thing that she can do. The other thing she's doing, which is important because it's a home visit, she can kind of see the condition of the house. And there are programs that can help with a lot of things like conservation programs and things. And she could, you know, come back, gather information, even go back again, see them again, and give them that information so they can make those connections. And or she sees if they are really the only person in the house, you know, because that matters in terms of total income for eligibility for those programs. And that's one way of doing it.
Does she have any kind of backlog, or is she?
She sometimes during the ELEAP program, she gets pretty, you know,
annually when people submit for the program.
So when those, yeah, because we're getting, I don't remember how many.
Sounds like a great point to basically doing the same, evaluating people who don't maybe understand.
And maybe they don't even know we exist.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, so it gives them some place to call, and we do get people that'll eventually come in or will call asking for help finding something or another. It's a way to reach the community.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's one aspect of what
I've got a question on ELEAP, and I just want to, I think I know the answer to this, but this is a city program, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So does the city require us to go out there and
not for the ELEAP.
Not for ELEAP, okay.
But, you know, ELEAP has gone through a lot of transitions since I started. And when I worked with Sharon, we used to do ELEAP application. Sharon started that program.
Mm-hmm.
There is a partner program to that called LEAP, without the A, which is through Access. And the citizens of Ashland have the advantage of being able to have both, which is really unusual, and it really is very helpful for low-income people. So we started coordinating our levels of eligibility with their level of eligibility so we wouldn't have anybody fall through the cracks. When I first started, our level was a little bit higher than theirs, so there was a whole group of people that were eligible for theirs but not for ours, for example. And so we tried to coordinate and make those similar. It's 60% of the state median income, which is, in fact, a standard that a lot of kind of social service programs use, and that's the one Access has chosen, so that's what we use. But there is some flexibility to it in that we can kind of make people eligible if they're right on the line. You know, we can maybe look at their medical deductions and things, and we have the leeway to make that decision. There's also an appeals process that I think goes right now through Electric. In case we say no on something, they have a place to appeal that. But that ELEAP program used to be, we used to do kind of reserve Pioneer Hall or the Grove before you guys came in here. And had people just come and walk in and sit, and then we were up front and we did applications. And then when we switched over, when Sharon retired and I took it on, it just made more sense to try and do it by mail. Rather than, I felt like there was a privacy issue. We didn't really have a private room to sit with somebody while they're telling us why they need help. So this way we can kind of do it, and we've tried to streamline it through the years, through the last 10 years, to the point where I think we're pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just getting through.
Any way you can gather more people to evaluate things. Right?
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of these, we've been looking at, you know, mostly recreational things, the one thing that seems. This is a senior center, and I see senior center an important aspect.
And, you know, one of the things, and that might go along with what you're talking about of expanding our program, one of the things they do in terms of ELEAP is they put it in city stores, which goes to everybody, and they, it's always in October, and everybody knows to look there for the phone number that you can call to get that application sent to you. So, and we coordinate that program pretty well with utilities. There's a spreadsheet that happens when somebody calls in, leaves their name and address, they send out the application, that's their part of it. And then they record it in this spreadsheet, then we have a joint shared spreadsheet so we can track where that application is at any given point before either denying it or approving it. We end up that we start accepting those applications in October, and then it usually runs through the end of January, and that's because you get a benefit either 3 to 6 months, and it can't cross the fiscal year. So
I have a question on ELEAD and LEAD.
Mm-hmm.
So ELEAD is a program that's run by the city, actually by us, for the city.
Right, we implement it for
right.
the city.
And
is it an acronym for something?
It is, right?
Ashland Low Income Energy Assistance Program.
Okay. So there's an I in there.
Yeah.
ALIEAD.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, so we do the screening for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We screen it, we approve it, we follow through with things. If it's, the application is problematic, we send it back, we tell them why, please reapply. Again, we're trying to screen people into that program and not screen them out.
So my question is, is it required, so it's not required that we visit?
No, not
okay.
that one. No.
So what about LEAP? Do we administer LEAP?
No. LEAP is done by Access, and it's a similar program to our LEAP.
But we don't screen for that?
No, we don't.
Okay.
But the one we do screen for is the senior discount.
Okay.
And
senior discount.
And do you ever, during the meals, do you ever kind of evaluate the people who come in, since obviously they're looking for a free lunch, maybe socially or maybe economically? Is there a way to try to...
That's what Dorothy does.
Yeah.
Dorothy.
Yeah.
She goes and sits next to people when they're new and brings them into conversation. She's quite good at talking to people, making them feel comfortable, and then from there you find out why they're there.
Because the audit talked about trying to bring in the people that were not, that we could bring in, but they seem to feel that there's room for that, the audit.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is a person from out of town, and they try to evaluate the parks from a distance, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you read that, and you have to take it.
Well, I don't know what the use of, because we have the guide, which is always, ever since we started being in the guide, we got a lot more people coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and it was a great, and then we have our newsletter, which you send out to about 400, 450 people each month. And then we have the website, which actually gets a lot of activity. But the city source is, I noticed that Parks uses that on occasion too, but I wonder if we couldn't use that a little more effectively for certain things.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes I'm almost afraid to put something into the city source in case we get so many people for it that we don't have the capacity to handle it,
mm-hmm.
In terms of space.
And that's 49 people we talk, and what's the capacity? Fire life safety of that building?
Well, in the dining area, I think it's 45 seated.
Right, usually there's a maximum capacity
mm-hmm.
for the building, building.
But,
because
it was done in two steps,
they
have two different things. So Marguerite has 45, I think, seated in the dining room and about the same in the activity center.
So it's probably
but 90 standing, if you want to, stand.
But your problem would be the support for that many people.
Well, kind of came up in the movie Old. I mean, when we kept bringing in chairs, and it was just packed. I mean, you couldn't walk through it, and so I was stationed sort of up by the porch, and then Dorothy and Darlene were in the back, and I was just thinking all about fire safety the entire time. How can I get this many people out if we had to? And, you have some impairments, too, some physical impairments. So it's something we have to handle.
And when you get a large group like that, it seems like a good chance to do a little promotion and
mm-hmm.
saying, hey, we have services. If you're new, if you've just come to this entertainment, and, there's a way to, I guess I'm looking at, capturing as many people as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously not in large lumps, but to bring in more.
We did put quite a plug in for APRC and the new TV.
Yeah.
We actually did. Yeah,
yeah.
It was something, and they were the filmmaker and the editor were really grateful and made a big.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like that's a kind of a draw. So and you're going to continue doing.
Yeah. I think I'd like to do more of those, but I mean, our space was really tight on that.
Well, you know, I guess I look at that as a good thing.
Yeah, it was. Well, I mean, we were complaining.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And on top of that, then the filmmaker donated, I think, 40 copies of the film. And as people left, they threw in $10 for a copy, and she gave all that money to us as a donation. So that was nice, $400,
mm-hmm.
I think we got from that. And then I didn't even know she was going to do that. So. She didn't sell them, she just asked.
Yeah, because one of these suggestions was fundraising activities,
mm-hmm.
and I guess we'll get to that
yeah.
at some point. But it seems like you do a certain amount of that, obviously the card and games. Do you have computer instruction?
We have this little room off of the activity center that we have a public computer in, and that's where we do the instruction, or if it's a Mac-based product, usually people bring those. It's a little awkward in the layout of the building in that there's the activity center, and then the way to get into that room is through the activity center. So we're hoping to move the door from that into the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would make that space a lot more usable. We could even increase the number of things we do. But if we're scheduling it, for example, at the same time, a computer instruction at the same time as yoga, they have to actually walk over people, which
yeah,
isn't safe, then,
yeah.
you know, to get there.
Good ergonomics.
So on the oh, I just had something on the goals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're done.
Well, actually, I just wanted to get a clearer picture of what other employees do you have at the senior program?
So we have Dorothy, who's worked longer than I have. I think she's there 15 or 16 years now. And she does information referral primarily at the front desk, but like I said, she also works the dining room, I guess that's how I'll put it. And she greets people and talks about the program for the walk-in. She works 3 afternoons a week for 4 hours each time.
So
she's
like a 0.25.
So right after lunch,
somewhere
in
there,
yeah. Comes for lunch and
yeah.
stays.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
And
what's Dorothy's last name?
Parson. Parson with a P.
Oh, Parson.
Yeah.
And then who else?
And then we had a 4-day-a-week person. 7 hours a day, 4 days a week, 28 hours.
Okay. Who is that?
It was a 0.7, I think, is what it's called.
0.7.
Right now we have 2 temps filling that, so we have 2 people doing 2 days a week on that. And, you know, it's kind of ideal in a way, because that's 28 hours a week, full benefits, you know, and to break it up into that, if it's even possible, into the two-day-a-week positions, is kind of ideal for our particular program. And that's because we can actually attract recent retirees that can't afford to work over 20 hours or lose parts of their benefits. And that's been an ongoing issue to get the right person in there. And then it also gives us more flexibility for when somebody can't make it, you know, another person can fill in and that kind of thing without having to have these sort of permanent positions.
So what would the job description of that those people be?
Well, I have it in here. What's it under? I kind of did the whole thing in here.
There's an org chart section.
Is that the one? Yeah, it's under
Well, what do they do then? You need to tell me what they do.
Well,
I don't care what you call them. I just wanted to know what they do.
So the 28-hour-a-week person supports specialists is what they're called. They respond to requests for information by phone, email, personal contact. They provide information referral, essentially, and they resolve problems and customer service inquiries within their scope of authority. They counsel clients about methods for maintaining independence, applying for and accessing services. That's, again, that's somebody who's walking in and sitting there and wondering with their mother what to do and where to go. They coordinate services with other programs and departments and agencies. So, for example, the heating programs, we're all coordinating with St. Vincent de Paul and Jackson County Fuel and all the different ones there. And also we coordinate a little bit with Senior and Disability Services, but we haven't really been able to do that too successfully lately because they're so short-staffed over there. And then Food and Friends, of course, and then their outreach for their Meals on Wheels program. So those kinds of things. They create and they prepare the newsletter, and they maintain the mailing list. They make the appointments for our functions that we have. They coordinate classes, workshops, social events, et cetera, and they plan and implement day trips. That's the primary goal of that particular position. They assist with records management and inventory supplies. It's kind of just a person who's there that helps run the thing. They do the HEAT program, the ELITE program. You know, we all do that. So, and they fill in for staff. And then other duties. It's kind of an all-around position. The information referral special, which is 12 hours a week, which is Dorothy, does the same thing about responding to requests for information and pursuing resources. One thing that particular position does, and Dorothy does particularly well, is she notices who's not there. You know, there are people that might not show up for a few days, and she gives them a call at home to see how they're doing and tell them we're thinking about them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's really a nice little thing. Yeah, she's really particularly good at noticing that and following through with that.
So I got a question on that. If if Dorothy wasn't doing that, would other centers where Food and Friends offers a program, is that something that they do?
No.
They don't? Because I know when I did the ride-along with them, they were paying close attention to people's welfare and stuff like that, seeing how they were doing.
Just the Wheels program, but
yeah.
She's noticing when people don't show up at the dining room.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah.
It's the same people who do the meals, right? But they don't necessarily interact with them. Okay.
I wouldn't think they'd even have enough time. Once in a while, the meal site manager will come in and say, you know, I haven't seen so-and-so for a couple of weeks, and we've probably already called them.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of weeks is a long time.
Chair. Yes. I could add to that because I've been delivering Meals on Wheels for over 10 years now. And when you're doing one person at a time, because that's what you do when you deliver the Meals on Wheels, it's very easy to notice everything because you have a focus. So I regularly check everybody I visit and give them advice. Call Chris. That's a problem senior center can help with. Or I notify Meals on Wheels that so-and-so's dead and nobody called it in, you know. I found a number of dead people. So. But that's much different than when you got a hall full of people. When you go from one person at a time, you can spend a few minutes, if needed, with each person and learn about them.
So that other position, Dorothy's position, she does records management. So right now we have her, for example, going through all our files and purging. And it's kind of an interesting thing because she has a lot of historical background with people. She's been here 50 years, so she knows a lot of people. So she can go through and say, oh, you know, this file, we better look them up because I was under the impression I saw an obit, you know, last year and that kind of thing. So she keeps us up to date on that kind of thing. She does a lot with the bus pass program, and then she fills in too when we need her to change her hours or something like that. And the next page is the outreach one. And that one, again, it's the same thing for everybody, responds to requests for information and referral, and then she does the home visits. She pursues resources for clients, and she develops plans for them. When she comes back from a home visit, she does a narrative and sets up a file, and we do use those quite a bit. If it's a year since we last heard from them, we can look back and remember who they were and just from that little tiny paragraph of the narrative and kind of what we were seeing them for, but more, you know, kind of what her impression was at the time. And she does wellness checks now for at-risk clients. And that one of the things we get frequently is we can get calls from either police, fire, utilities, the fellow that Dave Elias who turns off, you know, people's power, and he can be have a general concern about somebody, and then we send Loretta out to take a look because, you know, she can actually make contact with a person a little bit easier sometimes than someone in a uniform. And that's why sometimes we're asked to do that on behalf of the police. Or if she goes out and sees something, or I do, even I fill in when she's not there, and we see that we can't get in the house and we really haven't, nobody's answering, but it looks like lights are on, then I'll do call the police and have them do a wellness check. So it's that kind of interaction. And again, she helps with all the utility programs, less about the elite, more about the HEAT programs, and which is an emergency program, and more about the senior discount, of course, because she goes out. So. And the other part about the bus pass program that she is mostly involved in is we also give away Valley Lift vouchers, because we were required to, once we had the free bus pass program that David helped to set up, we also got some free Valley Lift vouchers. So to require someone who has to take Valley Lift and can't physically move very well to come to the senior center and pick up their vouchers is a lot to ask. And they're $4 each way. Their value is $4 each way. So she goes out and delivers those. And at the same time, then she makes contact with the person, sees how they're doing, you know, they know to expect her, that kind of thing.
And you have any kind of program that gets seniors to their doctor's visits, or, you know, kind of an individual transportation?
We don't, but we know of some. And we know of different people that are licensed to do that. I mean, that's the biggest thing is the insurance on something like that. But there are programs like Call a Ride, which is volunteer run, that we can connect them up with. And particularly if we know one of the people in that program, that's kind of handy. And then we can set them up with applying for Valley Lift, and we can set them up for, we can even help them fill out the application up to the point of the medical certification portion, which they have to get on their own. But so
how do you, you talked about if somebody doesn't show up and they're regular and things like that, how do you get new people to come to the center?
Well, it's usually, well, it's word of mouth, and it's the different places that we talked about. The guide is a big one. And our newsletter is not as big, I don't think. But our website.
Like 400
yeah.
people in the newsletter. So.
You know, I try and get that more online, but there's a lot in our, of folks in our group that don't do online.
Yeah,
so
I see that.
They want the hard copy. They want to put it up on the fridge even if they don't come, you know.
How often do you see someone new coming in?
Oh, every week we see new people, yeah. We generally see that pretty much every week. I think this week, I think we had at least four people that were new that I know of. Now, the classes, because, you know, they can come in that extra entrance, they see new people
okay.
a lot more than I
so
do.
So when you say see new people, is it for meals or for the program?
Both. For, well, to come in mostly for information referral and then for meals.
Okay.
Sometimes they come in for information and referral, smell the lunch, and decide to stay. You know?
What does the lunch cost?
It's a donation. If you're 60 and older, it's funded by the Older Americans Act, and a suggested donation of $2.75. But it's not something we even can look at. As people pass the can, you know, they put in what they can.
Right, but it's for the Meals on Wheels program.
Right, that's correct.
Or the,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do we charge people to be a member of the senior program?
No, we don't. We've never done that.
We never have?
Mm-mm.
Never,
I've looked at it. No. I've looked at it a couple of times in the last 10 years. And I've actually talked to other senior centers that have done that. And sometimes it's successful if their population base is a good size. But I guess we tend to not do it, and the reason is a couple of things. One is there's an ownership quality to a membership, and then that changes what we can offer and what, you know, some of the flexibility we now have. And I've heard that that was actually quite difficult with one senior center when they opened it up to membership, you know, charge for membership, because a lot of reasons, but I could go into detail, but it became a real big problem for this.
Well, it sounded like I was reading the article on the Medford Senior Center, and it sounded like they had 600 and some paying members.
And they're paying members, and they're paying $25 a year.
Right.
So
I think if your program was on the skids and needed to be funded, I guess that's an option.
Yeah, I guess some of the things I might rather, okay, it is an option, but there are people that can't pay, and they don't necessarily want to apply for a scholarship or do that, and they just don't come. So, you end up, because that particular mentality is prevalent around particularly 80 and 90-year-olds. They just don't come. They don't ask for anything. They can't do themselves. They just won't. And we see that a lot in terms of the heating programs and stuff where they just don't even want a system. I've even had...
Even though they may need it.
They definitely need it. and they live within their means. I guess that's what we're talking about. So, for example, when we've given away Valley Lift vouchers, if they get to the point where they don't need them anymore, we've had the people return them so that someone else can use them. That kind of... It's specific to that particular population. I think there's an opportunity to say, and I guess this is a question that we should look at, but charge for the newsletter. You know, if you're printing and sending a newsletter, you know, maybe you want to pay $10 a year to receive that, but I don't know if that's counterproductive or not.
Yeah, or
you know,
a donation even.
Yeah.
Because
something
you want to
like
get
that.
Newsletters
something
for people
like that
who need them.
For
yeah.
Receiving something, you know,
we could
see that.
$20 of coupons in there. Like they do at the schools. You know.
Well, there's a lot of opportunities for all kinds of interest.
So it seems like you're capturing as many people, you know, and then worry about the numbers later type. You know,
that's actually how it works.
Yeah, it seems like you do have a lot of programs that can do that.
So let me ask this question then. So the performance audit identified the senior population as an underserved population.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we, or how do you, we you know if we're actually reaching out to our whole senior community here in Ashland?
Well, again, I don't think we do hit.
Okay, so.
Honestly, we don't.
Okay,
but
so I mean, that's
again,
pretty much been identified that there's potential that we don't, and then, you know, it leads us to, so what can we do innovatively? What can we do, you know, to further our outreach? And
so we actually have a goal, an objective that was adopted by the Parks Commission, that is evaluate expanded and alternative use of the senior center to meet community needs. And staff as a management group got together and we came up with action items. And these are a part of our work plan. Action one was interview current staff to determine what is or isn't working. Action two is publish a community survey on wants and needs for the senior center program. And I just want to emphasize the word community on that because that would be something that we try to get out to the whole community, not just the people who are already coming to the center.
Sure.
And then number three was evaluate activities on site, on and off hours. I think we're going to talk about that. We have been talking about that one. Evaluate current trends, and best practices for multi-generational and intergenerational activities with the focus group. And that I don't believe that focus group has been established. Has it, Chris?
Best practices. No.
Okay. And then number five, implement a program to address findings of the above items. And obviously that hasn't happened. But the two big ones right now that we should probably talk about are action one and action two.
Mm-hmm.
Interview current staff to determine what is and isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, publish a community survey on wants and needs for the senior center.
Mm-hmm.
also, in conjunction with that, and one of the things that I do under my position description is to interface with the other groups in town and regionally, but mostly in town, that have to do with seniors. And that's the OLLI program, and that's the Y in their older adult program. And because, amongst other things, you know, Ashland at Home is another one. And that keeps us current in what their offerings are as everything ebbs and flows and everything's moving around. But it also helps us to avoid kind of duplication of things. So if, for example, you know, somebody's got the OLLI program, nobody does that kind of presentation as well, educational presentations as well as that program does. If they have, you need an overflow or something, I think they've been working with you,
mm-hmm.
Rachel,
yeah,
and using the Grove for some of those space needs, or, you know, like I said, somatics came to us, and some other things, you know, kind of come and go. So it's kind of, it's a moving target, but it's really important to stay abreast in that and keep on top of that, and that's part of what I do.
So what about Action 1 and Action 2? So Action 1 is interview current staff to find out what is and isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And have we done that one yet?
Well, I thought that's what we're doing right now.
we're interviewing some staff, but I'm talking about the people who work there and potentially even the people who are teaching classes there to see what they might tell you as the manager of the senior program.
No, we haven't done it yet.
Okay.
We can certainly do it. It's not going to.
And what about the survey? I heard somebody say something about a survey.
Well, the community survey, I thought someone, I don't know why I thought Dorinda was going to work on doing a community survey and how to best get that word out. Because I don't really have a way of doing
mm-hmm.
that without.
No, but you utilize Dorinda to do that.
Yeah.
So you have to tell her what we want. So you talked to Dorinda about it already?
We were talking a long time ago about it, but we haven't gotten to that. So
we haven't done anything really on those.
Mm-hmm. Not yet.
Well, and Chris is right. I mean, we are interviewing staff right now to find out what is and isn't working, but I think it would go a little bit deeper and something that you could talk to them about. Because a lot of times, you know, you talk to the people who are on the ground, and they give you the no-holds-barred answer, and which is a lot of times they tell you exactly what isn't working and what they think they would change if they could.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, part of that came up in the audit, or the, not the audit, the survey we did, as far as, you know, participants telling us what more they want. And there were some suggestions in there.
Right, but we're talking more of a, you know, I mean, I'm focused more on how are we reaching out to the larger community. You know, I mean, I realize that there's a core of the constituents that, you know, that frequent the senior center. And that's great, but you know, as a commissioner that's looking at a program that needs to reach out to the whole city,
mm-hmm.
I guess I'm picking your brain as to what we need to do to facilitate that.
Well, one thing
know?
That came to mind that actually was suggested by I think you, Jackie, was service groups, going and talking in front of service groups. We haven't done really much of that. We've done it. I mean, I interface
well,
with
have,
the
yeah.
Rotary, and I interface with Sir Optimus and things like that, but actually going and presenting and showing what we can offer and finding out from them what they might like to see. That would be one way of doing
well,
it.
Well, you should do that, then.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or come to us with, you know, a program that that's what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, I mean that's what this is all about. I mean, that's what the audit was about, and that's what, you know, that's what the subcommittee is about, is really looking to change some things, you know, because I mean, this is just my personal belief, is that we need to change some things. Change is coming, and we need to be ahead of the curve, not wait to get run over by it. So, you know, I mean, if somebody comes in and says, you know, we've reached out every way we could, and we know that we've reached every person in town, and this is our constituents, and that's it, I'd say, okay, if that's all we can do, that's all we can do. But I'm not sure we've done that
No,
yet.
I haven't done that.
You know, so, I don't, I don't want to just dance around it. I mean, I guess, you know, one of the things, I'll just say it out loud, is one of the things I'm thinking coming out of the subcommittee is that we would actually say, okay, we recommend that you do this, we recommend that you do that, and we, you know, have some kind of timeline to basically get more information to make sure that we're doing everything we can do to meet the audit recommendations, which we're required to do. That's why we had the audit done, is to, you know, is to evaluate where our programs are, where our deficiencies are, you know, and you know, what we can do to help build and promote the programs that we currently have in operation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's
so
what I thought we were doing with the subcommittee. So I guess, given this is our
okay, well then, I guess I just wanted to prepare you then. We'll come up with some recommendations.
And
if
the work plan talks about the survey, we should discuss what the survey is going to look like.
Well, the work plan is something that,
I mean, that's something, that's an activity that we should implement, and a survey, you know, there's good surveys, bad surveys,
yeah.
It seems like
there's a lot of ways to do it.
Our website has an ability to get it out there, and your newsletter has an ability to
mm-hmm.
to say, you know, like you say, websites are only so valuable, and the older people, a lot of them aren't very tech savvy, and so there has to be several modes of the
right.
survey. You can't just expect everybody to get online and
right.
do that. But it seems to me the structure of the survey would be interesting discussion
right.
points with Dorinda and say, you know, is it a list of questions, or you just say, hey, off the top of your head, what do you think, or how do you pull out information?
It kind of is sort of community specific. I had talked to somebody at one senior center in California who had a big turnout for their community survey, and it was in support of an expansion,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it was really very useful, and I got all the data on that. But then that was a big community. So we've been doing a survey every other year, like a satisfaction survey or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that comes to mind that I thought, that I honestly thought would be the most successful, was done by an SOU student who was doing it
mm-hmm.
as a capstone project. And she chose to do a lot of sort of mass mailings kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
To
the whole community?
Well, to whatever her guidelines were, but there was a lot that went out. And I can get you something
mm-hmm.
specific. So about, 6 years ago, the return was so small, and it had to do with a lot of different things. It had to do with having somebody have to mail something back in, just that task, or the stamp, or you know, just a lot of people we had that did respond dropped it off, you know, which is
mm-hmm.
a trip, you know,
mm-hmm.
which is for an older person can be difficult.
Yeah.
So. As far as the younger population, I don't know how you go about doing
that. Well, we can talk more about logistics, but I do think it's, since it is a work plan item, it's one of the things that we could start working on
yeah.
right away.
That's fine.
Okay.
And I think the interviewing staff is no problem with that.
Yeah, and I would expand that to not just people who are paid by APRC, but people
but
who perform.
The instructors
yeah.
and the participants.
Yeah, and maybe not so much participants because they would be in the
there
survey.
Very another survey.
But maybe the some of the volunteers, people who you think would be good, just put a list together.
I mean, you could also go to an idea that comes to mind is to go to the community partners like Rob and ask him what he's heard. You know, does he see a need that we could fulfill that might interface nicely with the ALLE program, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be something I would love to do initially.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, on what page 52, 53, project team believes that increased recreational opportunities at the senior center will increase participation in the program. You know, I guess that has to do with your first work, you know, about evaluating what's working, what
yeah.
isn't working, and we already had some input on that. You know, in the day trading, you don't see that as a,
I see that as more problematic, somebody giving day trading advice.
I just want you to know, I didn't go forward with it at all without talking about it.
So. I think when we do get into financial stuff, it's bad enough.
Stick to the arts.
We'd like to limit how many places we accept cash, and considering that, you know, we probably don't want to get into the financial analysis and planning.
Well, even if it's just loose talk, you know, I don't...
Can you just the first thing?
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting.
And that's the kind of... It's all about evaluating.
He wasn't talking about... The guy, I mean, to be fair,
It was a discussion.
He wasn't talking about actually doing day trading on site, but actually teaching, saying people, here's some resources for you to do day trading.
Well,
but still, we're promoting something that I'm not sure we need to promote.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got plenty of other things that we can promote that price be a little better.
Like Ashland's tax-free munis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Especially the one coming up.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about that myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, like $3.5 million.
Yeah.
Is it legal for me to buy into that?
I don't know. I think so. So those are the goals. Kind of went over the goals, and we talked a lot about what's happening right now and how things are working and everything. And I think we just got to an assignment where we're going to look at the survey. But are there other, and that's kind of why Rachel's here too, are there other recreation programs that we could potentially talk about looking into and kind of excitement?
But you're talking about these program suggestions?
Yeah, things that we could expand.
So, yeah, I went through this list when it came out even. So.
And then with saying that too, I mean, you don't want to finalize anything because you want to talk to your people and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just curious if there's anything that jumps out at you. Or Rachel about things that are
low-hanging fruit,
I guess. Well, the
fitness ones, you know, we have our four fitness ones already. Feldenkrais is the same almost as somatics. Chair yoga, we've tried that. It was not well accepted, and that was a few years ago. We can always try that again.
What was that?
Chair yoga. Marion's yoga is really the one we have right now is a gentle yoga and is very popular. And if somebody needs special accommodation, she'll do that for them. Pilates, I don't know. I looked at Pilates and that just seemed scary to me.
So I would actually not look at this list so much as a master list, but kind of think about what you're hearing out in the senior program community, professional community. Kinds of things people are doing, or Rachel, if you're hearing anything about the things that are working, that other people are trying, that you might want to try.
And I think it's also site-specific. In other words, our site is, bocce ball would be pretty hard for us.
Yeah, because that's
ping pong.
But,
that's
well, you have that table outside.
We do have a table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I find
and,
yeah. Music classes.
Well, we've done that too. But again, we're not ideally suited for something like that.
We do have music classes at the senior center, but they're not specific to
seniors,
right?
And I'm not sure they need to be.
They don't, but are they advertised at the senior center during the day?
Well, we hand out the guide regularly.
Okay.
You know, when anybody walks in, and Loretta's really good at that. You know, handing them a guide, and showing them the stuff that's more description of each thing.
And the trips seem like high on logistics, it would seem, to get a vehicle and everybody off, or do you guys
do
much
of that?
No,
we have that van.
Yeah, I mean, is
that... out there. And we just now, one of our two temps is real excited to do this, so... And she's, you know, started researching, and we're going to offer one starting next month again.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually get right around 7 people for that. And it's usually people that either they don't drive anymore and they don't get out, don't get outside of city limits, or they just don't want to go somewhere alone.
And
do they
charge for that?
Yeah.
Give me an example of a couple trips. Or
sure. The one coming up is Harry and David tour.
Oh, okay.
Harry
and
David.
Oh,
okay. And... we've done all kinds of
stuff in the valley that would be
We've gone up to see the daffodils and Shady Cove during that season.
Mm-hmm.
and then a picnic at the covered bridge or something like that, bring your lunch kind of thing. We've gone to the fish hatchery. We're trying to get it, because of the van, the age of the van, we're trying to not go quite so far.
Right,
like,
yeah.
We don't really want to take it to Crater Lake or wildlife images,
but
you know.
But we could actually purchase a new van with the money that's in, or newer van with the money that's in the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I've been eyeing, because over the last 2 years, we've received a lot of complaints about that van from staff.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have even refused to drive it, isn't that right?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something that
that's
we could potentially,
yeah.
I circle trips on here, because maybe if we do get a better van, it's easier to drive, easier to board, those types of things.
But this has a handicap accessible lift, and man, it's pretty.
Yeah, it's not totally
high just,
sound.
Yeah,
it's
know.
Just.
It's
a, it's just old, and it was a gimme.
And how
yeah,
many do you can buy?
You know, in some ways,
I can park it on A Street. Yeah, there's two of them right now.
In some ways, this is kind of an opportunity. I think Trips is. They used to have quite before Medford Senior Center kind of slowed down.
Yeah.
they used to do have a larger kind of trip kind of program, and now that they're kind of reorganizing. I think it's a nice opportunity to interface with them and do, say, overnights to the coast or something like that that we could kind of jointly do.
Mm-hmm.
Because alone, we probably don't have enough need.
How many people fit in this van right now?
This one is a total of seven. So it's a total of eight.
Eight. Okay. So if you get five, six people on the trip, then that's pretty
mm-hmm.
good, then.
Yeah. And then
Yeah, it seems like that Harry and David sounds like an interesting one. I'm sure
mm-hmm.
you could.
They did another one. There's something in Talent. They make little model trains,
mm-hmm.
and hardly anybody knows about it. And it turned out to be a nice trip, but it was too long for people to stand, and there wasn't a place to sit, and then there was a lot of fumes, so we decided not to do that one
yeah,
again.
But
we've even gone out to Emigrant Lake and done a picnic.
Yeah.
You know, something small like that.
That
people don't get out there. So
that's
interesting.
Yeah.
What happened with, I remember we used to do trips with the YMCA. I can't remember what happened with our relationship with the Y.
They just stopped doing, they said they had to use their van for their own. It was a van issue. And then it also took a staff member that I don't believe we ever paid, that they just loaned us. Which was Lori at the time, and I think they found that they needed her for other things as well. It went on for a long time, and you know, eventually they just couldn't do it anymore.
That was a good partnership though when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the driver is also
the
activities director.
More
of it,
yeah. They're the ones that make sure.
So you only
use
one person when there's a trip, and then you still have all your activities that you take care of.
Right. Yeah, no, it's usually different people that want to go on the trips than what we have, you know,
so I guess
less mobile people.
The question is there, do you think that there's a desire from the people you serve right now to do more trips?
I would think so.
Okay, so that's the answer.
Yeah.
So
the longer ones, though, and the more complicated ones, I you know, you're better off, I think. Farming that out, going into some sort of contract.
No, I think you find your niche and
right.
you expand on the niche that is that type of venue that has seating and comfort and
right.
and
X amount
low,
of standing, X
low
amount
cost,
of standing.
And so there's not a lot of.
But that would be the beauty of, say, interfacing with
yeah.
a newly reorganized Medford Senior Center that might be doing
yeah.
more
mm-hmm.
advanced trips. So.
It opens it up for people.
Yeah, I'd see this as just something to expand on, because some of these probably, like you say, the bocce ball and the doing cards and fitness and speaker series and, you know, and the fundraising activities, it just is like, you know, I guess I'd like to hear more about what
When we fundraise, we like to do it big. So we used to do a walk with Food and Friends, and they got usually over $10,000 once a year for that.
Wow.
They did it for 10 years and then decided against doing it for a lot of reasons. Evelyn and I have been talking for a long time about doing something joint because it was a lot of work on their end, and we participated in giving them the facility and changing programming so they could have it, and participating and trying to get a lot of people to help come along on that walk. And but she and I we haven't done it for a while yet, but we're actually beginning to talk about that last year, about doing something joint. There were some other ideas that came out when the advisory board met, and one of the ones was we had a woman who's a volunteer there that has a food truck and does Italian food, and how we could interface that with something maybe going on in by the tennis courts or something for a one-day kind of fundraiser, and she'd be willing to, just for the price of the food, just, you know, that being the only expense. So that's another thing, so.
I think it would be a good idea to let you think about this and talk to your staff about it and maybe come back with some ideas of how you could potentially meet the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I've been listening to the conversation, and it sounds like in the past things have been done, or, you know, surveys were done, or you used to do a walk, or you used to do some things, but it doesn't strike me that we've done anything new or creative recently, and I think that's why we're here, is because we need to do something new and creative, like now. You know, it's like we need to start today, and we really need to do it, because I mean the status quo, unfortunately, probably isn't going to get it done, for any of our programs. I mean, it's just, and so I just think we need to take seriously the audit recommendations, which state things like evaluate expanding and alternative uses of the senior center, look for new and creative ways of marketing the senior center, make sure that we put together a good quality community survey, and I can think off the top of my head a couple different ways of doing it that, through the city even, that, that we could get some decent feedback and really ask the people that might potentially use our program what things they want to see that we aren't providing right now. And, as well as your own people, that are regulars at the facility, and I get that. But, I mean, I think that's, I kind of see it more as, well, this is what we've been doing, and this is kind of what we do, and this is what we do, and we tried that once, it didn't work. I mean, I guess the part of trying new things is they're not all going to work, and so there's going to, be failures, too. I'd like to... that's what one of my original questions was. And so what recently has been successful and worked? And, does that lead us to some other way of thinking about potential programs or something that we could do or better organize our facility or reach out to more people? I mean, I'm just throwing things out.
Well, the survey is a great idea. The community survey is a great idea, and then the avenues we spoke of. But also, as far as something new, that local talent series I just started last month, and we've had, three or four of them already, and we are looking forward to more. And we're going to have one of the people that just came back from Cambodia and Thailand do a travelogue on it, and rode an elephant and wants to do a slideshow and all of that. That's all coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's not completely stagnant.
Yeah, and I guess what I see is we have our audit and their recommendations. The work plan, I think, is the key thing, and we need to give Chris direction and say, hey, here's a list of things, and then we give you time, and then you come back and give us your evaluation.
It's easier for me that way than
this,
it is.
This gives you a direction. Mm-hmm. Here you have bullet points, let's say, and then we give you time to
do some of this, and then we evaluate it and see if it's working. You know, that, that, like you say, it's a hit and miss thing. And although the more survey information you get, that, that seems to be valuable in the sense that if you're somebody that's interested already and it might have some legs, who knows? You know, I guess that is a, it's somewhat of a problem that, that you have to go through a process to get to that point to find out if it doesn't work. But I think our job here is to give you direction and then evaluate how it goes. You know,
yeah, so I agree on the work plan. The work plan is there. We can follow the items on the work plan. It starts out.
And how many?
Five.
Yeah.
There's five action items specifically, but the action items are, you know, they could have two or three other things that come with that. But if we follow those action items, then at the end of it, on the fifth or sixth one, we would hopefully have something that we could implement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea of following the work plan. But, you know, maybe the next time we meet or the time after that, we could get an update on how that's going.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a really good way to get into, we talked a lot about what, like Mike said, what we are doing and a few new things, but maybe the next time we can talk about ideas and bounce ideas back and forth about things that, that could actually happen and how to implement those things.
Mm-hmm.
And your group, your board, you know, I would assume that's a big part of you guys getting together occasionally and
mm-hmm.
and
tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it'd be great. That's a perfect time. You know, we've talked about a lot of interesting things. A lot of it's evaluation, trying to get people with needs, but then there's also the recreation part of it. So that, that should go hand in hand. You know, recreation is a big part of obviously what we do. And then we're all the big team, and you know, I think that's, I guess I see it as working together as a team is much better than trying to create the wheel over here and ignoring the wheel over there. So it's,
mm-hmm.
you know, we kick around a lot of ideas, some will work on their own. It seems like you guys are the most valuable part. You work, you deal with it every day, and you see how it's going, And we're expecting great ideas from you.
So that might be a good segue into the senior board and the history of the senior board and kind of the background on that. And Crystal, I'm going to ask you to just kind of start thinking about the history there and how everything happened. And I'll just tell you, start off with the resolution, if Mike, if you're okay with moving forward. The resolution is from 2007, and there's a story behind that, but I'm going to ask Chris to tell that story of how everything came about with the transfer and everything. But what basically what happened, according to the resolution, if you're just reading the resolution, is that the Parks and Recreation Department would take responsibility for the facilitation of all senior programs and activities for the city. And so that's the key, is that the city passed a resolution that transferred the senior program over to Parks. And Parks and Recreation will have the authority to create an advisory committee for the senior program if necessary. So that, to me, you know, says that, yeah, you can obviously, well, you guys can decide if you want an advisory committee or not, but it didn't transfer with it. And four, it's just when it becomes effective. So it's really just those two things that are in the resolution, is that it would transfer from city to Parks, and that you'd have the authority, you basically have the authority to create a board if you want to.
So there was no board before? The
yeah, there was.
Okay.
There was.
So we didn't recreate a board then at that point.
No.
Well, to my
knowledge, in 07.
That was.
Oh, okay.
To my knowledge, too.
I know. I remember talking
we
about
said
the board,
yes.
And we looked at the names, and, you know, maybe
it
I don't get around town enough. But,
so the transfer actually took place in 06. And that was written in 07. It's just delayed. Because when...
well, that doesn't really make any difference, but... You know, so
well,
from 2007, this was our mandate from Parks, is to take the senior center program as a Parks program,
mm-hmm.
and then create an advisory board if we thought we needed to.
So the key questions, and I'll give you a chance to kind of explain if you know the history. But the key questions that I have are, what did the city transfer with it? Because this doesn't say anything about, and we will transfer the funds to run the program.
Minor issue.
So I think I know the answer to that, but I do think it would be important to talk about that. And then why? Kind of the why, how it happened between Don and the city administrator. So if you have that.
Well, just my historical knowledge, which is less and less every year, but so I believe the transfer happened because of financial reasons with the city at the time. And the parks had that guarantee, 2.9 cents, and had a larger ending fund balance and all of that. And that's why I think we were transferred over, because we're not a revenue generating entity. But at the time, and we came over, and Don Robertson and Sharon met, and you guys just said yes. And I remember too.
Well, we discussed it with Don, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he asked us if we were willing.
And really, staff generates a lot of all this stuff, and he felt he could pull it off, and
right.
That's what we were looking for.
And he felt that it was appropriate that we would, that
and it's
as a park and rec.
And it's a good fit. Yeah, I think that's it, and it's a logical fit. And
well, he was also really fond of the social programs, I can tell you, because he had two parents that frequented the senior center and had needs and had issues and different things too. So he kind of had a personal connection to that. But so we came over, and then by the way, no funds transferred with us. Now Sharon, who was director at the time, did go to Don and say, shouldn't we at least get paid for the elite program, or at least get paid for some of these other things? She had been doing it as a department when we were a very small little department. First, she was reimbursed, you know, financially for the services we provided. Then it moved into trade of like administrative services, instead of getting charged or whatever that is that happens for those. She got those as a result of doing those programs, and it made logical sense to keep doing those programs because, you know, we're pretty good at screening and we have that social service thing. So that was more cost effective for them than actually contracting that service.
And the process didn't change a whole lot.
It didn't change at all, and none of the funds, even the administrative services, didn't transfer over, although she did go to Don a couple of times. And he didn't want to pursue that. I know she was kind of frustrated by that because she felt like that was a loss of income for you.
But I think Mark Bennett, at the city administrator at the time, came to us in dire need, because as if anybody remembers that era, you know, it was a rough time. People weren't, the monies weren't coming in,
right.
And they had a huge shortfall.
Mm-hmm.
Every department had to make cuts. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they had a lot of money floating around that.
No, but she was wondering why they didn't do like a transfer of services, like administrative services or legal services,
yeah, well,
or something where it would
something
be remuneration.
Something we should think about.
Yeah.
You know, anything we could get.
Well, at the time it was a 209, you know, and that was.
They could actually go to 214, but we never pushed it.
That's right. So, but it also coupled with that, and you said it, there was a large fund balance. And as you know, since we talked about in the last few days, that fund balance has gone from a lot.
It was recommended every year that we carry over like,
yeah, it's like
$1.5 billion.
Yeah. And now we're down to zero.
Right.
Basically, we're negative right now with the city not transferring some of the money that they said they would. But so that's how it happened. It didn't get transferred with an advisory board, right?
It got transferred just as an entity.
Yeah.
And then there was the question of the board, because they were a policy-making board appointed by the mayor. And one of the
Well, I have a question about that. Generally, policy boards are elected, and they don't usually give up their policy-making ability, except for, you know, very, very few circumstances. So are you sure of the policy board?
But when it was a department, yeah.
You know,
so
but I think
it would
have still gone to the city council.
Yeah,
right?
As every commission that isn't elected makes the policy that has to be adopted by,
so that's,
right,
by
it's a recommendation to the council.
Yeah,
so it was an advisory board.
Yeah, but you suggested policy.
Yeah,
it moves.
Because the city had a vote on it.
Yeah, they had the vote.
Yes.
There's only a few commissions that don't. There's actually the planning commission is able to vote on things, but not necessarily make policy without it having to go to the city council.
No, every commission has to go to the council.
Yeah.
And but they can make land use decisions on some things that are
right. But it could be always a
repeal.
But no policy. And the point is that, you know, we're using the term policy board, and I just wanted to make that distinction because the Parks Commission is a policy board, and the City Council is a policy board. Those are the only two real policy boards.
So now your group's an advisory to us as our elected group. And
one of the people, it was one of the... The board makeup at the time had to, when there was an opening, it was a regular board, minutes, the whole shebang, and you had to apply when there was an opening to the mayor and go through that process.
Okay.
So
prior to the transfer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
One of our people, Gene Maxwell, was one of the ones that was appointed at that time.
So I'm just curious, that was the process before this mine get appointed, and at some point it was decided that we wouldn't follow that process. And I'm just curious how that came
about. Well, it was during the, right after the transfer, Sharon went to Don and said, what do you want us to do with this board? And he said, it could be an advisory board. So she went to the board and said, what's your, you know, your thought on that? And they wanted to stay as more,
okay,
as an advisory
and
board.
And
then they as a group then decided, because Don gave sort of free rein in that, as a group decided what they wanted, the basic overall.
And I have to admit, there wasn't a lot of hands-on when the transfer happened. I think we
just
assumed
it
was going
to
run,
and
maybe that is somewhat a problem that we didn't become more proactive in the whole operation of it and set up these rules and say, hey, well, the next board member, it comes to us and we evaluate that, let's say, right? Instead of the council, let's say. And then it's the kind of things we were somewhat lax, is what I'm saying, is in our overview of this new entity that came into parks.
Well, and in all fairness, I remember going to Don when it looked like I was going to, you know, take over for Sharon and said, you know, if you have, I was honest with him, are you wanting to expand? Are you wanting to do this and that? And he said, no, I want it to stay the same. So we were given specific direction not to do what we're doing
and
here today, which is fine.
Candidly,
well,
maybe he didn't come to us with this stuff.
No,
you know,
he decided
I don't,
on
that,
himself.
You remember meetings that I don't remember. I don't know that he was allowing us to be involved.
No, I think that
maybe we should have been.
Well, but
and
here we are. Exactly. Here we are now.
Yeah, exactly.
This is where we are today, and I think this is something that we need to take care of because I think it's great to have an advisory board, and I recommend that we have an advisory board. But I think it's extremely important and imperative that it's clear the line of authority is really clear. That it comes from the commission to the board, and then back from the board to the commission. And right now, I think the advisory part, they might be an advisory board, but they're really more of an advisory board to you more than anything, unless I got this wrong.
Well, to the program, I guess.
To the program, yeah. That's what I mean, not necessarily.
Yeah, I think we need to be more hands-on and more team-oriented is really... I think what a lot of these meetings are about, and a lot of it was a good kickstarter, is it's really highly dependent on teamwork at this point.
Well, and even last year, you know, about the same time last year, we were talking about a more formalized process,
mm-hmm.
I think. And I remember taking that to the advisory board in April, and they were in favor of that.
Well, it's been my goal for a while to get this going. It's taken us a while to get this started, but I think it's time now, since we've discussed it. It's one of the things that we could have on an agenda coming up is a creation of a senior advisory board, and with appointments, with the makeup as the commissioners determine, and I would suggest with at least a few members of the public and two members of the commission, and staff, of course, as staff to the board, but have it on an agenda approved with the makeup and terms and all those types of things, and then have them appointed by the chair.
I would agree. That sounds like a good part of this.
Yeah.
Component to what we're doing here.
How many members do you currently have on the advisory board?
Well, we have five and Steffi. Steffi comes almost every meeting.
So five and six, possibly. Okay. So if we cut down to two, who would they be? I'm just kidding. Don't answer that. I'm kidding.
I've been on a long time.
You chairing or?
No, I think it's TBD as far as, you know, we want it to be, my suggestion would be to make it as give it as many chances as possible to be successful, and I think we should have to have a discussion about what that looks like.
Yeah, I don't think there's any disagreement on having the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's just bringing it into our system and have a policy, and everybody knows it, and then we can move on from there.
Does the golf? I'm just curious. This just occurred to me.
Yes.
Do they have a board like that answering, or
so
does
let
any
me,
other?
I'd be happy to talk about this actually.
Sure.
So we have a number of subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
One subcommittee right now is the subcommittee, and it actually has by statute, it's been a resolution been adopted, and the Parks Commission appoints members to that board. The golf course, Rachel has come to me recently and asked that we put members of the men's and women's club on the advisory board or the subcommittee to be advisory to the commission, to the commissioners who are there, which happen to be these two commissioners, by the way. So yes, it is something that we do, we'd like to do. And then if you look at the city, that's how they all are.
Yeah.
All commissions and committees of the city are more citizen than counselor, usually. But since we have so many less, that we can have two commissions on ours generally. So, does that answer your question? So that's where we'd like to go,
mm-hmm.
And I think that should be, you know, high on our list to take care of as quickly as possible. Yeah, and that's an admin thing, so I'll work with you on it. And I'll take the lead on it,
mm-hmm.
But we'll get that thing, we'll get it taken care of.
You should think pretty carefully and spell out duties and responsibilities and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the city board, like there's a transportation operates and advises the council, but it also makes day-to-day kind of decisions with the public works director.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all a little bit different.
Yeah.
Some of them are all the same, and they're in the farm, and then ones that have specific responsibilities have different municipal code.
Good point. So that was the next item, actually, is the board meeting bylaws. I mean, we don't really have that, do we? No, I don't think so. You guys haven't necessarily created a mission.
We do.
Well, the senior center has a mission, but not.
But
I think the bylaws and the mission for the board members would be inherently just a little bit different, where it'd be
assisting the program manager to achieve the goals of the senior program.
And we discussed minutes at the last meeting, and there was maybe hit and miss, or, you know, usually there's minutes involved in a lot of these things. And
well,
your discussion points, it doesn't have to be...
Once it's formalized, I think you have to, you know...
We have to,
well,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess, I was shocked it wasn't formalized then, you know, for, you know, so...
Yeah,
it's time to formalize.
Didn't think Don liked it.
Don, what, give me his phone number. I need to talk to this guy.
Can we have it right here?
You
can. Rachel could do it. So, it's your choice if you want to go any further than that. Those were the two main items.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't know, I mean, maybe we don't have to go on to the mission and org chart, because as we discussed before, I mean, those kind of need to be revamped. I don't know if we want to actually revamp them and then bring them for discussion, or instead of revamp them by committee.
I know program mission would be a good opportunity for an advisory committee to do.
Yeah, because that could take hours.
Yeah.
As we know.
Days. And then they could also talk about their bylaws and what they'd like to see in their bylaws. But the way I would propose it is with a set of bylaws that I thought was representative of what the group should be, and then they could talk about it and make recommendations and that should be expanded. And then the org chart is something that we can talk about, but we already have, really. I mean, you've already talked about the full-time personnel or the regular personnel. The org chart in here shows a lot of boxes for things that don't generally show up on org charts. So volunteers would, things like that.
But
really,
the line, so
yeah,
was what we discussed.
Now let me get mine out. So, for instance,
for example, the advisory board, you know, who does it report to? It really reports to the commission.
Well, it would be a line off of the commission.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about. And you know, basically cleaning it up so it's clear what the chain of command is and you know, what's expected from the individuals and, in this case, the two groups, you know, which is the commission and the board.
Right. So, I mean, we can get this cleaned up, I think. More representative. We don't have to have, like, for instance, the bus pass program has its own box.
Right.
And unless it was a program that actually had a person assigned to it as as part of the organization, then it wouldn't be its own thing. It would fit under whatever the senior program support person does or one of these people do.
Mm-hmm.
It would be an offering, not necessarily part of the organization.
Well, that's an implement, but we did do that. I mean, that was something I created with
what?
David, the bus pass program.
Well, I understand.
So that's why it was that way. I mean, that's why it's something.
An organizational chart is more like people in your
organization and how the organization works from top to bottom, mm-hmm. bottom to top, not every single program that we
So have. I have a question then. Where does a subcommittee fit in?
Well, that's what we were just talking about. It's a dashed line off of the, or it's a line off of the Parks Commission.
I see.
Yeah, because
okay.
we report back to the Parks Commission as needed.
This type of a chart is difficult for me to make. I don't have the skills.
Well, they're
to
fun
make
for me
someone
to
else
make,
too.
So
he would love to make
I would love to help you make one of those. And we already have, I mean, honestly, I've already done your division.
I thought,
it's in the larger division of org chart that I've already prepared. So it's just taking it out of there. We can expand it to show programs, but I wouldn't necessarily show them right in line with your staff.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Well, what I think we should do with the remaining minutes then is to recap what we're going to do and then decide if there's things that we need for the next meeting. And then
set the next meeting date as well. So, you know, I would entertain what anyone else has written down, but I've already got a couple things that I wrote down, which number one is that we need to research how we're going to do a more comprehensive community survey on senior center program. And you know, if we need to meet as a group or if we need to bounce it off of someone like Dorinda, I'm not sure. Michael, you probably have an idea where we might want to go with that. But, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, or if we want to, you know, I'm thinking out loud, but I mean, the city will, you know, will put those items on the city website for discussion. I mean, we could, you know, I don't know if you go to the mayor or you go to a council member and say, you know, we kind of want to do something like this, or I
have access to those. We've been asked to put things on there, and we thought about D-City in the past and stuff like that, but I think we can get one on there. I just think we need to have a meeting, you and me and Dorinda and maybe Rachel, and talk about how we can best get to the people who need to see the survey, not necessarily the people who are most likely to see the survey in the ways that we generally advertise it, but how do we get to those people who aren't
right.
most likely?
Or come up with multiple venues, you know, to put it out.
Yeah.
It's the same survey, but either send it out in a newsletter, put it online, you know, I don't know. I mean,
you can have an open house, too.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think we need, I guess we don't need to necessarily do that by the next meeting, but we should brainstorm that and decide, you know, so that we can take action at the next meeting to start that.
Okay.
And include the benchmark for success. I mean, what would you consider a successful survey?
Well, and
I think that has to be discussed as you're doing that.
Well, we will, and we will come up with a survey for the committee to approve, really. And that's really what I would like to see, is if we're putting out something that is from APRC, that the commissioners actually review it and approve the language, the questions that are in it, because then it makes the results more valid because they approved it going out. First place. So yeah, we will talk about that. We'll hopefully bring something back at a point, whatever point is most appropriate, to show what we suggest.
So I also wrote down, I think somehow we need to explore new ways of marketing, and I'm not really sure what that looks like, but I think we need to either brainstorm or be creative, or just show up with some different ideas, you know, to try to be somewhat innovative, or do some research, or you know, find out what, you know, five other community, you know, centers do, you know, something along those lines, so that we can start putting together a toolbox for. You know, for moving the senior center in a direction. I'm not saying forward or backward. I'm just saying in a direction. So I think we should have that as a goal somehow. I didn't really wordsmith that very well. You know, I mean there was a short discussion. It wasn't that involved on more trips or something that would be exciting. It's like maybe we should research a new van for the senior center or something like that. It's just something creative to say, you know, could we really stimulate that program and really come up with something? I mean, when I went to ORPA, I sat in the senior center, one of the sessions they had, and man, this, you know, it's from a little larger community. It wasn't like Kansas City. It was like, you know, like Beaverton or something, you know, that where they had this amazing program of tripping, you know, and I mean, it kind of depends on the size of the community, but they had all these trips in this program, and it was like, man, she just couldn't stop talking about it. I'm just going like, I mean, I realize it's a lot of work, and you know, but I just think that's, we need to start thinking a little outside the box.
Well, we're in a smaller community, but there we can look, you know, at what other, how we can partner with other groups to offer trips.
Right.
You know, that might reduce our cost and our liability, where we share the liability.
A new van could be an opportunity for new marketing too, right?
Yeah.
Right. Could get a wrap for it or whatever.
So those are just, you know, those are the kind of things, you know, the community survey, I think is big. The other two are just, you know, we need to start being a little, thinking creatively on it.
Has to do with marketing.
Right.
And the survey and the
And then the other one, I just, you know, is we need to reevaluate the makeup of the advisory board. And as David Chapman said, you know, make sure that we have, you know, we probably want to recreate the mission and the bylaws and then have clear understanding of what, you know, what the purpose was or what the responsibilities were of anyone that was on that board. And, you know, reaching out, I mean, you've already reached out to someone like Commissioner Seffinger, you know, that visits the board meetings, and, you know, we need to get someone like that, you know, as a member on the board, or, you know, something similar to that, or from some other group, you know, potentially, I would think.
Well, Joel's really interested.
Joel Heller?
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One thing we haven't discussed, and I'm not even sure what it entails, is alternative use.
Well, and that's the whole talk to your staff and do a survey thing.
I guess how is this building set up for an alternative use? I guess somebody has to explain to me, give me some examples.
Here's a ping pong table.
And we could drag it inside.
Well, it could be a number of different things. It could be going from, now there already are some alternative uses in there, like the ukulele class, I think, is in there. And that's an alternative use of the building itself.
I see, because it's not a necessarily senior program,
right.
Although seniors could partake. But,
right.
Okay, that's,
and that's the
not
structure
a great
part.
Example. That's not completely
but there's, alternative. There's two ways to look at it. There's the structure and using it after hours. And then there's the other things. And the alternative use, I believe, is geared more towards intergenerational and, multi-generational activities. And that's the alternative use, I think, that our goals are getting towards, and
You mean within the senior program?
Within the senior program.
Wow.
And other, yeah.
But that
is exactly what the goal says. That's exactly what the goal says.
Yeah, but there's a...
For the office.
No, well, no, just our goal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our goal says, I'll go back up.
I mean, there's things like staffing. I mean, it seems like whenever you suggest it, you have to really pragmatically look at it and evaluate it. Because just think tanking or kicking around ideas, you know, obviously you're not excited about that particular one. And me, maybe I'm at a lack of understanding of kind of, you know, what it entails and whether how useful it is to the big team and the prod, you know, our whole parks, as opposed to, you know, we've used that for charrettes. I remember I've been there a couple times for that. I don't know if Little League uses that building for meetings or at all. And that's kind of an alternative use. But other than that, you know, I need somebody to tell me what the definition of other than ukulele. Yeah.
Well, that's what she's supposed to talk to her staff about, and we're going to talk about the next meeting, is what kinds of things are working and aren't working, and what kinds of things we could move forward with alternative to what we have right now. But the survey would be a big part of that, because it would tell us what the community wants and needs from the senior center.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is evaluating current trends and best practices for multi-generational.
Yeah, because we don't have a teen center.
Or
I guess we do have a teen center, though.
Part of the senior center and the senior program, just to let you know, is are people that also, say, go to the Y, or there are people that don't want to go to the Y because of the intergenerational. So, you know, people have places to go if they want. But
well, and the question I would have,
can't be
and
all
I don't,
adult people.
But that's what we need to do. I like to discuss things that maybe aren't super popular, but you know, let's
right.
discuss them because, man, without discussing them, if somebody just goes this and oh, we move on. No, what is it all about? What does it entail? What's the full effect of it?
Well, the survey would say, you know, the survey would let us know if there were other possibilities, could it actually increase people coming? Are there people who would come if something was provided there that isn't provided now?
Yeah.
And that's part of alternative use, is to get, not just to feel good about using the word multi-generational, but to actually get people in. And if it's multi-generational that does that, that's great. If multi-generational doesn't work, that's great too. Whatever works, though, we should be pursuing.
You know, like 50-year-olds.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, but, you know, they think that we hear a lot in the community about multi-generational, you know, that it's people, there are some people who feel, and it's anecdotal, I know, but there are some people who feel like the senior program would be more, there would be a lot more people coming to the senior program if it was multi-generational. It's anecdotal. I don't know that that's true. That's why the survey will help in answering those questions.
I know for a fact that there are a lot of seniors in this city who disdain multi-generational, who don't want kids around, dislike noise, etc. The senior center is the only place in all of Ashland for them. If we go to some of these things because we want to have more attendance, or we want to raise money, or we want to be bigger, we're throwing out the one subset of citizenry who have no place else to go. See, if I like multi-generational, I can go to the Y. I can go to my church. I can go to all kinds of places. But if I'm one of those, and there's plenty of them at the senior center, specific number, who don't want that. If we go where you guys are talking, we are literally throwing out the people who have no other place to go.
Well, I don't think anybody's talking about going.
We're supposed to be a service organization to the people who need the service, not a building where we try to get the most use out of it. Because if that's the case, you can do a lot more with that building if you got rid of all the seniors.
Well, like I said, the survey will be the thing that tells you what the community wants to see. So, you know, like, what's his name said on Reading Rainbow? It's a great book, but don't take my word for it. You know, you got to do the survey to find out what the community really wants.
I agree. But, you know, demographically, I think, you know, everybody talks about the retirement community that we're living in and that. So, you know, demographically, it's an aging population, and so, I mean, obviously the senior center, it's not like we've invented the senior centers. It's an important part of it, but I know we give a discount to 55-year-olds at the golf course. I believe we've never changed that, you know, so we're moving, you know, you just got to move it out a little bit. If a 50-year-old showed up, would they be ostracized or, you
no,
know, what?
They'd be welcome.
Yeah, would they be welcome? I mean, so I guess it's a, you know, obviously.
I think when you say multi-generational, it scares some folks because of children running around, balance issues. I mean, there's just a lot.
Well, I think there's a group of people who they like to call it multi-generational because they're getting closer to seniors, but they still consider themselves maybe another generation or something like that. And I, you know, again, doing the survey would let you know what those things are and how those people feel.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about skateboarding classes at the senior center.
I guess I have a feeling that you come there to enjoy yourself, and then what you also get is social services along with that. Sounds like that's kind of what you're doing. People come in, they got to eat three times a day. They come in for a meal. You have a chance to evaluate. You have these programs. It seems like that's a great way. But if you're doing Tai Chi or Mahjong, you know, that you're there having fun and being social. And the social part of it is as healthy as all the other stuff. So, you know, maybe that's what I envision, and people don't really, they go there to have fun and be with people.
Right.
Socialization. You're doing that already, and I guess we just want to expand that to the point where you're saying, hey, I'm totally full. I can't fit another program in anywhere. We asked Rachel for that when she's evaluating. You know, well, where are you at the ice skating rink? How many more people could you have to see? You know, are we taking full spectrum advantage of the entity? And that's basically this is all about is for us to evaluate how close to capacity are you? You know, golf course it's weather dependent. You know, the weather's great. Man, we get people lining up for tee times, and that's great, but we're totally, you know, dependent on certain other aspects. So, you know, we like to run everything at its highest capacity that our staff can handle. It's really what I would hope for as a commission.
And a little more.
And just a wee bit more.
Just a wee bit more. No, it's true. We do this from tennis courts to the ice rink to every program we have. So.
Right. Yeah. You look for multiple opportunities so we have a good enough list.
Mm-hmm. I had the org chart is the only other thing.
Yeah. And we had discussed earlier some meeting dates. If at all possible, I'd prefer something after April 11th, but it's up to the group.
Susan. Can we, is it all right if we start working on another meeting date? I think it sounds like you may have to do a poll because there's two people who are going to be out of town. And I'm.
Another month or so?
No, we're talking about 3 weeks.
Yeah, like the last half of April.
Yeah. Mike's gone till the 10th. I'm gone the 12th, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. And then you said you're gone the 11th.
Yeah, so something after the 15th
of April.
Yeah, in the last couple weeks of April.
Mm-hmm. But we also have to have time to get together.
Yeah, sure.
So we'll talk in the next few days and figure out a plan of how to accomplish some of the things that we need to. And then I'm thinking that third week in April, too.
Yeah, and I mean, and then if it doesn't work because you don't have enough time, I'm just trying to
keep it going.
Yeah. So everybody can think that sometime within the next 4 weeks, we'll get together. Okay. Thanks for coming. Meeting adjourned.
So, you want to talk about the other
stuff? Yeah. Oh, I have.
You got a minute?
Yeah. I don't walk on the pathway anymore. Okay,
the rest of you.
Yeah, intergenerational.
would be, that would be great. I think it was cheap because they were doing this for a variety.
Yeah, and I think
well, so what was the deal you were talking about with Mike?
Jared, like,
Caesar,
yeah.
Caesar, meeting or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen, don't overreact. And
you
know,
say
it sounds like, that whole thing here, I'm surprised you guys already built the hell out of it. I'm a get along guy. That's why.
Yeah, right.
If he's taking retirement,
well, he's